Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Let us read responsively selection number 94. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let us unite in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, whose gift to us in Jesus Christ gives meaning to the task upon which we are engaged, and whose tender mercy transcends our deepest understanding, we lift our thoughts to Thee. We thank Thee for this company of Thy people, and for the invitation to worship Thee with gladness of heart. We remember in thy presence all who are in places of great peril and all who carry heavy burdens, including those whom we mention in the silence of our hearts. Enable us to discern amidst the distractions and pressures within which we live, thy good and perfect will for us and for all mankind. Quicken within us the aspiration to serve thee effectively in a new age. Strengthen, we pray, the ties of faith and truth that bind us unto thee and to one another as we pass through days of examination. Deliver us from undue anxiety and make us men and women of wisdom, sound judgment, and true humility. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came into a troubled world, who grew to maturity, who learned obedience through suffering, and who gave himself for us. Amen. In harmony with the theme and motifs of worship this week, let us think together for a few moments about the meaning of Christmas. Each of us brings to this celebration of God's love memory, insight, and foresight. We recollect what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. We search for a deeper knowledge of his way of life in a troubled world. And we anticipate the opportunities and difficulties awaiting us in the year ahead. Let me draw attention to three values to be derived from the Christmas season in 1965. First of all, I trust that we shall have leisure for the clarification of our purpose in the world. It is not easy for theological professors and students to find the leisure they need for their creative role as interpreters of life in the perspective of the mind of Christ. And I venture to mention a line in a song some of us sing at Christmas. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. An angel is a messenger of God. And amidst the pressures of a crushing load, after examinations are over, I trust that we may rest and hear the angels sing. It has been said that in a time of rapid social change, we cannot afford the luxury of leisure to delineate the purpose and aims of action. I heard this in a workshop last week. I heard it in the meeting of an executive committee this week. But in neither setting did I accept it as truth. We must have time to think. During the past 5 years, at least 1 million volumes have been added to the shelves of the libraries of the theological schools of the United States and Canada. Now, this is a magnificent achievement. But it takes time to read. It takes more time to think. And it requires thought to understand purpose. Let me affirm the conviction that clarity of purpose is essential to fruitful labor in any educational enterprise, and especially in education for the Christian ministry. At the moment, 21,529 students are enrolled in the 127 seminaries of the American Association of Theological Schools, and these students have the guidance of 1,800 full-time professors. These students and professors form a tiny minority of scholars in the great academic community of higher education in these two countries. But we are not to despise the fact that we are a minority group. We are to take our task seriously, and we are to understand its profound meaning in education, in every major dimension and aspect of our common life. And this will require clarity of purpose. In the second place, it is to be hoped that the 1965 Christmas season will provide opportunity for us to place high value upon enlightened concern for the well-being of persons. One of the urgent questions at the moment deals with the right relation of a theological seminary to the church, and with the right relation of both the seminary and the church to the world. This is an exceptionally tough question. I should like to record two convictions about it. We are to remember that God is in the midst of the life of the world. You and I do not fully understand the cross. But we know that the cross reveals the presence of God in the world. You and I do not have an adequate rationale of suffering. But we know one thing about suffering. We know that God is with his people in their suffering. God is with his people in the processes out of which they make decisions in this world. God is in the life of this school. God is in your life and in my life. God is in the world. And I record also the conviction that you and I are to care for persons in the world. Baron von Hugel, in a letter to a niece, said that Christianity taught men to care. I like to change one word in that statement, as some of you know, and say, Christ taught men to care. You and I are involved in the ministry of caring for people, for persons. For children, for youth, for young adults, for persons in middle age, for old people, for rich people, for poor people, for white people, for black people, for educated people, for uneducated people, we are involved in the fine art of caring for persons. At this point in history, very many persons are disturbed by powerful emotions. Especially the emotion of fear and the emotion of anger. It is not always easy to care for persons who are disturbed by fear and anger. But this is a part of our opportunity. And at the Christmas season, we renew our intention to learn all that is available to us about enlightened care of persons. In the third place, Christmas is the time for new and deeper dedication to Jesus Christ and his way of life. In the serious search for a religious answer to man's existential situation, we read the record of our spiritual heritage in the Bible, and we are confronted by a man who was full of grace and truth and who had the courage to act upon his convictions. He invited persons to believe in him, to learn of him, and to follow him. He gave new evidence for old eyes and new eyes for old evidence. And he brought into history a creative power to overcome evil with good. Formulations of religious faith made by fallible men are incomplete and are subject to critical scrutiny by honest minds. But we have the testimony of devout thinkers across the centuries and from many lands that in an affirmative response to God, as revealed in Jesus Christ, they encountered a reality which illuminated their souls, Sustain them in the adventures and adversities of life. Give them a sensitive concern for the well-being of their neighbors on the human pilgrimage, and enable them to face the future with confidence and hope. On Christmas Day, we shall dedicate ourselves afresh to Him and to His way of life. Let us pray. Our Father, Thou knowest that in our best moments we love Thee, and that the strongest desire of our minds is to serve Thee. May Thy love restrain us from evil and constrain us to overcome evil with good, as we take our places in diverse situations with troubled people in the world. Enable us to see who Thou art and who we are, and what our purpose is in the world. We pray for those who have only huts for shelter and only peril for companionship in some of the most difficult assignments on earth today. And we humbly pray that we may learn how to live together creatively, harmoniously, joyously, in the Spirit of Jesus Christ.